Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blew your boat.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
Oh. I don't even know what that word means.
You've got to be kidding
me. It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Michael Cole.
Little man.
Michael Cole doesn't like movies. Wait a second. In the long list of people who don't like movies, there's one name. It's the name of the dirtiest brawler bag that I've ever run across in my life. Somebody I just like to stomp on his head till my foot's covered in brains. Michael Brawler Cole. You don't like boobies, and now everybody else hates you.
I remember watching that the first time.
Well, you know what's at stake when the Williams treatment is given to this show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Do not adjust your interwebs or your ears tonight. I am Jim Williams, pinch hitting for Nikki Heyman. It's still the North American Wrestling Connection you all know and you all love, just Williamsified. We'll explain more about that in a moment. Now, I'm joined, as always, by a couple of good people on this night where we have a good deal of stuff to talk about, and some might say this is a good panel. Some might say that. Some might say this is a great panel. I might go that far. I'm going so far as to say tonight's panel is legendary. Here's what I mean. Tonight, playing the John Cena role of Mike Chetley, will be VRM.
I don't know what I'm more excited for this Sunday, the real ECW One Night Stand or preseason starting, finally. Thank you!
Oh, there you go. And VRM is pinch hitting tonight, although we do have the guy I was going to have in as panelist, but VRM, you're more than welcome to stay. I'm okay with a four-pack tonight. More minds than many when Williams is around. Also, the understudy to that role, from Thibodaux, Louisiana, Carl Chenier. Good evening, Carl.
I got your understudy right here, pal.
Oh, yeah, watch it.
Wow.
Put come on, Carl.
Kids, I know Skype's being a biatch. It's okay, but I'm fine with a four-pack tonight. That's
gentlemen, gentlemen, let me leave you with this thought here.
Okay.
Elmas Doomerville ought to take a page out of the D'Lo Brown playbook and get a chest protector.
There you go. I like it.
You gotta be real sick in the head to know get that reference.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know sick. Playing Devin Ray's role of Cal Chetley tonight will be Stat Boy Josh Henninger.
Good evening, everyone. How are you? Fantastic.
I'm as dashing Cody Rhodes. Thank you, though. And finally, as always, playing Danny Glover's role of Harry Red Newman is Jason Blue Block. Hi, Jason.
I'm doing great, but, you know, everybody has forgotten the most important day, which is this Tuesday. Madden NFL 11 comes out, and I've got my reserve copy ready to go. I am pumped for this one. This
I'd rather put a 44 Magnum upside my temple, pull the trigger, then play Madden.
We'll put Magnum P.I. by your head.
Wow. I've given up on Madden. It's too damn complicated.
X, circle, triangle. R1, R2. No, but I haven't played video games as much over the years because I've been busy with lots of other things. These days, not so much. But Madden is great. I love Madden. And I'm just happy my man Gus Johnson's announcing the game this year. Ha ha!
There you go.
No more Boom Tough Action.
No, he hasn't been on the game in a couple of years, actually.
Is he ill, or is he still around?
No, he retired. He retired. He's in decent health. He just wanted to retire.
Okay.
Getting back to the format of the show, by the way, we have the chat room open. You're more than welcome to chime into the chat. And you can also, of course, just berate me all you want in the chat and say, we want Nikki back. matter of fact,
Oh, great.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Here we go.
Excuse me, guys. May I have your attention? Your attention, please. I've received a hostess from the an email from the general hostess of this program.
Oh. Fail yourself.
Thank you.
And I quote, sorry, hold on, let me get my cheaters on. Hold on.
Damn it.
Fail.
Fail.
Your attention, please. Sorry, I couldn't be with you guys tonight. I had to make an emergency trip to Orlando. I am working on a potential project with my dear Uncle Paul. Quote the Heyman, nevermore.
A shame I know where she actually is. And
that's
yeah,
a shame where I know where she actually is.
Yeah, and I'm jealous of her for it, even though there's no Warhammer tournament there.
Oh,
well,
no,
there you go.
Fun.
Don't be surprised.
Ruin the punchline of the joke, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does segue nicely into the first topic we're going to talk about here, and as a professional broadcaster, at least a former one, I know about segues. Hardcore Justice is this Sunday. It is yet another ECW-type, pay-per-view-type show, and for those of you who have been out of the loop of wrestling, ECW-type shows or ECW revivals happen about as often as most of us change our underwear anymore, seemingly, with all due respect. Well, anyway, Hardcore Justice... Yeah, there's a joke in there somewhere, and we don't want to go there. Talk about the confirmed participants, and we'll get some yays and nays to this, obviously. According to TNAWrestling.com, confirmed are Rob Van Dam, of course, Tommy Dreamer, the hardcore icon Mick Foley, the suicidal, homicidal, genocidal, death-defying botchamaniac Sabu.
Honestly, let's hope he doesn't wrestle. I heard he's really not in good shape.
Yeah, I've seen.
Off.
Yeah, the Sandman's going to be there. He was on TNA this past Thursday night. More on that later.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn
is there. That's going to be that's going to be the show stealer if it pans out like we hope. Raven, Rhino, Stevie Richards. No BWO. Damn it.
Wait a minute.
I know. Yes.
Jim, I thought there may have been a chance, because Nova, from what I heard, may be showing up. And the only reason he'd show up is a BWO reunion.
I hope so. I will mark out if that happens. I will mark
out. Of course you will mark
out,
Jim. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love the BWO, the best parody in the business. Team 3D, of course, Al Snow, no word on head.
Thank God.
Simon Diamond, say what you will there. Too Cold Scorpio, Axel Rodden, Johnny Swinger, Brother Runt. Okay. Hmm. C.W. Anderson, and ladies and gentlemen, the full-blooded Italians.
I also have one other confirmation for you. And I have three words for you. Well.
Yes!
Okay.
The quintessential and original muff stuffer. Stud muffin.
who happens to be, believe it or not, a personal friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very cool.
And actually one of the nicest guys in the business.
From all accounts, I've heard that,
yeah. Yeah, and PW Insider reported that this week that he is going to be there. Of course, the biggest thing this week, though, about this,
yes,
is the fact that Shane Douglas has been pissing on the show,
ooh,
like, you know, big time, the whole week. So, you know, I mean, he said the whole idea seems to be repugnant. The person I spoke to, I asked him why TNA is doing this. I'd love to hear it. And he told me they would if they could, so they can't.
So they won't. Sorry, I had to finish.
And he said he pretty much rips the concept, but noted he would do it to get Ric Flair in the ring, feeling it's the one match ECW fans would pay to see. I mean, he's been saying this for years. Okay,
just reading the chat
and
funny stuff. Well, there you go. Another aspect of this, before we actually talk about the actual pay per view in and of itself. There was an article, actually, on the blog of Newsday. Apparently, Newsday has a wrestling blog. Yeah, I didn't know this either. From they asked one of WWE's head attorneys about the whole concept, and the quote goes as follows from said attorney. The WWE is, of course, you know, challenging the ECW aspect of this. Can they see and do this? Quote, the WWE is the sole owner of the ECW marks, and as with all of WWE's intellectual property, it will be vigorously protected. TNA acts at its peril if it infringes upon WWE's rights. Now, in past weeks, the letters ECW have been slipped out on the air, and fans, of course, have chanted ECW, including last week. Do you think last second, any of you guys, do you think last second they might try to pull something off here?
Honestly, no. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because WWE has never acknowledged TNA as real competition. Up front, that is. I mean,
right.
The fact that they have done stuff against, you know, when the Monday Night Wars happened.
Sure.
So I'm going to say no, because if they do, they make TNA look like an absolute monster, and they're afraid of it. No way. They won't do it.
Fair point. Do any of you guys concur?
I see absolutely nobody's going to... These guys are... In my opinion, they're going out and having fun for probably the last time in some of their careers. They're showing the product off the way they wanted it to be shown off, not the way that WWE killed it. I'm saying they killed it with the 06 to this year run. They completely killed it.
Yeah,
this is the way it's supposed to go out.
It leaves a bitter taste in one's mouth what ECW was on Sci-Fi. And you can even make a case, to a certain extent, the 06 one-night stand. I mean, the 05 one was great. The 06 is starting to verge on that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was tight.
And believe me, my favorite wrestling promotion growing up was ECW, because it was, you know, in Philly, and I was always jealous. My dad would never take me there. Of course, I was a teenager, but we won't go there. There are only two matches announced so far for this pay-per-view. The one I'm most intrigued by, of course, RVD, Jerry Lynn, round 1,000,045. Well, I mean, no, I mean, those two, they were the antithesis of the peak of ECW, in my opinion, because those two worked their butts off, and the matches were great. I don't know if this match can even live up to the hype.
It may be able to. Just depends on how well RVD can still go, because I haven't watched ECW as of late. I mean, TNA as of late. But I have watched enough Ring of Honor to know Jerry Lynn can still go.
And honestly, I believe RVD can go. So give him 30 minutes and watch. Just watch, people.
Now, the ultimate question I'm going to ask, I'm going to start with Carl on this. The concept of this being essentially a one-off pay-per-view from the norm, can this work for TNA? And furthermore, what would it take for this pay-per-view to be deemed a success for TNA? Carl, what do you think?
The buy rate.
Mm-hmm.
If people actually decide to do the right thing and actually buy the thing.
That's kind of the $64,000 question. Stat Boy, what do you think? Can this kind of one-off pay-per-view work to TNA's advantage, or not?
As Carl said, it will affect their buy rates quite well, but I really don't know if they're going to be able to parlay this into any long-term success. So will it be a good one? Maybe. Will it help them out? Nah.
Okay. Long run, not so much. Let me go to Jason here. How many buys will this take for it to be deemed a legitimate success, do you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, let me ask you this before we go into that. The 8,000 buy rates on the other pay-per-views, do you believe that story? I mean, do you believe the numbers? Because I don't.
Well, I think it's somewhere in between, but that's the number that was brought out, and unless I read otherwise, I kind of have to go with it.
All right, so let's say the number's true, 8,000, right?
Right.
Let's say 25,000, maybe 50, okay, for it to be from a numbers perspective, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, want to know something? You're going to get a huge curiosity factor because, honestly, Impact ratings have gone up with the ECW guys there.
This is true.
Okay.
Slightly
so
up, yeah.
So it had, you know, no pun, well, pun purposely intended, spiked up. So, I know, fail. Okay.
And
okay, fine, thank you. But what I'm saying is, for me, I think the fact that they made that this pay-per-view is on at all is a success. But from, you know, I'm still wondering, where are they going to go with this?
That's the $64,000 question, I think, Jason. Do they parlay this into an angle where ECW is, like, entrenched within TNA permanently?
You mean EVOO, I mean EV 2.0, you know, I mean, yeah.
First of all, Jason,
no.
I don't mean this as disrespect. Never, while I'm hosting, which is for another 44 minutes, never make a Rachel Ray reference on this show.
All right, fine. But that's okay, but that's what it sounds like, though.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't deny that.
Because they're stuck by the legal constraints. That's what they are. I'm sorry.
I understand. I understand completely. All right. Let's move on. We'll get back to some TNA stuff a little bit later in the program. Let's talk about WWE corporate gentlemen. Let's talk about quarter two earnings results. Let's talk about buy rate.
Here we go.
Oh my.
My Fred.
Now I got to find the sound. Now I'm getting tested with the soundboard. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Michael Bleeping Cole, where the hell are you? See, I should have proofread this earlier, but you know what? I'm going to break this out. Josh Matthews, what do you think about the earnings?
This is going to be a slobber knocker.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I had to, you know. All right, here's how it goes. I'll start it off here talking about, let's start with the quarter numbers in terms of overall revenue. For quarter two, WWE's revenue, they announced $106.8 million in revenue with $6.3 million in profits. Now, of course, big numbers sound wonderful to John and Jane Q Public, but when you break it down from last year, it's down about, if the math is correct, $32.2 million in total revenue, and the profits last year, $19.9 million, which has a little asterisk, does it not, Josh?
Yes, it does, mainly because WrestleMania was in April of last year, therefore you would have had more money and more profits. Seeing as
however,
it still hurts.
Yeah, and however, there still is, if you take out WrestleMania, there still is a little bit of a decrease still from year to year. So that's
3 million profits.
General thoughts on that, guys? Anybody want in on that? Any speculation and such?
Again, it's still part of the economy. I mean, if you're putting out really crappy pay-per-views, which a lot of the quarter two were, I mean, especially when they were promoted as such,
right.
You know, you're not going to, what's the word I'm looking for? You're not going to get the people to spend $45 a month. Again, unemployment is 10%. The economy isn't recovering, contrary to what the, you know, what the politicians are saying. People are spending less. So you got to make the pay-per-view special.
Do you think, I know we've talked about this enough times, guys, do you think they're ever going to lower the price of pay-per-views, you know, just to try to get more people in to kind of break, you know, kind of up it slightly, maybe?
Jim?
No.
Mind if I give you the numbers for that?
Yes, please do. That's a segue. Hi.
Right.
Hi there.
And now for the quarter two buy rates for 2010 against from last year. Over Limit versus Judgment Day. Last year, Judgment Day did 228,000 buys. This year, Over the Limit only did 197,000. Loss of 31,000 buys.
Ew.
Extreme Rules, the June pay-per-view, did 213,000 buys last year. This year, only 182,000. A loss, again, of 31,000 buys.
Uh-huh.
Now, the most telling loss is was the last big pay-per-view in quarter two, Fatal 4-Way, which last year was the Bash. Last year, it got 178,000 buys. This year, only 143,000 buys. 35,000 buys lost. And from what I know, it's pretty much in the bottom three for total number of buy rates or worst buy rates since December to Disregard in its meager 80,000.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
That's what he has to say about
it. I will punch you in your vintage face, Michael Cole.
Go on the Mississippi River, you tool.
Because why couldn't he drown in the Gulf of Mexico? I'm sorry.
I'm sure we said this already, but looking down in the list, they have the comparison for counting WrestleMania 25.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 5 had made approximately 8.4 million of last year's quarter two's 34.4 million. So live event revenues this counting WrestleMania, they only made $26 million. So this is actually up 3.2 million from last year. Whether that has to do with ticket prices increasing, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think they are they?
From what I heard, ticket prices have went down year to year. They're
trying to go family.
Live events, though, have been selling out all over the place, though.
Yeah.
I'll have something on the Slayer.
Okay. Indeed. In fact, one of our contingent tonight is going to a house event for a promotion. We'll talk about that later on. Let's actually get to the matter of wrestling. It only took 22 minutes, and we're actually talking about the shows that we're on. Starting, of course, with the longest-running weekly episodic program in television history, Meet the Press.
I'm going to smack you.
Well, I'm sorry. I hate that. Meet the Press has been on for 52 weeks out of the year, 51, except for Wimbledon. Anyway.
For 60-plus goddamn years.
Yes. We still miss Tim Russert. Let's talk Raw. Let's talk about the couple of key things from Raw. First of all, Team Cena is going down in numbers. Edge, eventually, he gone because of a situation he started at the beginning of the show this past Monday night, which, long story short, turns into a match as forced by Michael Cole's good friend, the Internet, where it's Edge versus Wed Barrett. It turns into a no contest, and Nexus interferes. Edge eventually quits. So, Team Cena is down to 6.
Five.
Now, well, no, at that point it was 6.
Oh, whoopsies.
I'm storytelling.
That's story, yes.
I'm storytelling. That's what JR told me to do. Storytell, because straight play-by-play doesn't do it. Goddamn, why can't Joey Styles be announcing? But wait! I just always wanted to do that. I'm sorry. Jericho comes in. Jericho, Cena, they had a good match, didn't they, guys? Pretty good match.
Yeah,
Monday
night. Watch it.
Okay. Well, they had a pretty solid match, lots of counters and what have you. It was a match forced where the loser would end up leaving the team because Jericho kind of forced Cena's hand. Jericho gets the Walls of Jericho on. It's countered by Cena, turned into the STFU. And just as the arm or the hand gets under the chin of Jericho, he taps like a mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone's eyes go, huh?
I was marveling at the brilliance of Jericho.
Yeah, he sold everything. I mean, he played his role to a T. And, you know, Cena even went in. Let me do my Cena voice here. This is the first time I've done this on the show.
Oh, no.
All right, Jericho, come on now. Okay, it sounds more like Vince McMahon on laryngitis, but anyway. Cena was pretty much, although he didn't say it, begging for Jericho to stay on the team, and Jericho played the role to perfection, as Jason kind of alluded to. He started moving forward and said, screw you, Cena. I don't want to sell merchandise. I want to sell moves. So that guy goes. So now it's 7-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next week's main event also entails Jericho and Cena and Bret Hart. Well, Bret Hart and John Cena are teaming up against Jericho and Edge, who have now formed an alliance. All is doomsday here. Is this a good angle? Because I think it is. I think it's interesting. It adds more interest into what could happen at Summerfest.
Jim, you missed the piece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you missed it
you
big
missed
time.
That the Nexus are going to be Lumberjacks for that match.
I did have that down. I was just not looking at my notes. That is correct. Nexus, Lumberjacks, and as Michael Cole said, that he almost died inside, which I thought was cute. So what do you think of this whole thing? What do you think? Do you think we're going to have a full pure 7-on-7 brawl, or is this going to be 7-on-5, or does it really matter? And silence.
Actually, from what I've heard, there's a very good inkling that there's going to be two more wrestlers actually going on the list. They have yet to be announced, so I can't say who they are.
Ah, yes. Keep us in limbo.
It, from what I heard, at least one's maybe SmackDown, so there is that.
Finally bringing SmackDown into the fray. That would be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something on that coming up later, too.
Yeah, what I think they're going to do is eventually... Because this is not the go-home show, is it?
This week coming up is. It's going into the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make Bret Hart the peacemaker.
Exactly.
That's the only... Because Bret Hart, as we all know, unfortunately, can't go. So he's going to be the leader dude. Okay? He's going to be the guy who, you know, brings everybody together... And then, you know, Jericho and Edge will do their own thing. And honestly, I'm going to predict they're going to get a match and they're going to probably beat the Hart Dynasty for the titles at SummerSlam.
There you go. That makes a lot of sense. It's very possible and very plausible, quite frankly. Let's see.
I guess
what
you
else
can call this bold prediction.
Oh, thank you very much, hemorrhoid-filled ESPN announcer. Okay. Other things that happened on Raw. Well, the continuation of the Orton-Sheamus build-up. Orton and Miz had a match, pretty good match to close the show, the main event match. Lots of counters. Miz was pretty much giving Michael Cole, better not say that. Orton won the match, RKO. He's like the Danny Crumb of NXT. I don't know. No, but Orton won the match. More build up there for that match. Orton Sheamus looks to be a pretty good match for SummerSlam. Melina came back. That's always good news. I always like seeing Melina.
Yeah.
I love seeing splits. Indeed. And I neglect to mention Kali is still being courted by Nexus, as well as Florence Henderson. So, there you go. Thoughts on Raw overall? Good show, bad show this week?
Well, you want to know something? It was actually better than last week's live show, to be honest, for me. It moved the stories forward, and it actually intrigued me in what's going to happen next.
And to intrigue Jason Block means win, ladies and gentlemen. Tough to intrigue this man, I must say. No, I'm kidding. Raw, for what it's worth, rated a 3.28, aggregate up to 3.3, which is, I believe, down from last week, correct?
Correct.
It was a 3.5 last week, so.
Mm-hmm.
If you're scoring at home and playing the ratings game, there you is. We're going to close up the Raw segment of the proceedings. Glad you're listening in, by the way, on Blog Talk Radio. I always like to mention to the listeners, I appreciate them listening in. Jim Williams, Jason Block with VRM, with Carl Chenier and Stat Boy Josh Henninger. As we talk NXT now, because as you all know, we are wild and young, and we have just... Okay, so show starts, crappy little montage, whoop-de-doo, Matt Stryker in his 18th best in his lineup, good for him, and Mark Summers looked down almost, good for him. Then we get to everybody in the ring, and we get to lay cool, and we get to about 12 minutes of my life I want back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm glad I went to sleep for this.
The kissing contest. And no, it's not a kissing contest with lay cool, because that would be too flawless. It is... Oh, boy, you're gonna kill me for this, guys. It is a kissing contest with the Texas version of...
Fred Rum!
Alright, I'm sorry.
I'm leaving.
Thank
God.
God damn it.
It
was there, I just...
Now, but she looked familiar, didn't she?
She did.
Wasn't she Rosie?
I was going to say, that's the first thing that came to my mind, Rosie Lotilov.
No, we're talking Rosie versus Donald Rosie.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Might have been her.
I'm sorry, I get... You think you see one Rosie, you see them all, quite frankly. No, but yet, now that you mention that, yeah.
It is her. It is her.
Okay. Well, they really dolled her up this time, didn't they? And so
yeah.
They go through the contest, and Lucky Cannon is the quote-unquote winner. And the prize was something that not even Listerine could get out. So there you go. What was it? Halitosis, gingivitis, gonorrhea, chlamydia.
And cooties.
You know what will make it all better? Brain bleach.
Yes. I'd like to forget that segment. So there was actually some wrestling. The big portion of NXT this week. McGillicuddy and Cannon were kind of, at ends over, I want to fight The Miz. No, I should fight The Miz, that kind of thing. So, they set up a match. The winner of that match goes on to take on the Vince Lombardi of NXT. That's right, The Miz. So, decent match. McGillicuddy, of course, gets the win because he's Mr. Perfect. Then the winner faces The Miz. McGillicuddy faces The Miz, and The Miz pretty much took care of him, although there were plenty of opportunities for McGillicuddy to get in. I liked this angle. I liked this Miz versus McGillicuddy angle. Going back to the promos where Miz was saying, you know, your father was a great wrestler, you're just adequate.
I really think The Miz over the last, since he's gotten the Money in the Bank, has stepped his game up. A lot of people can hate on The Miz, but to me, I think he's the second best heel in WWE right now behind Chris Jericho.
Bob Jericho.
You can make a darn good case he's number one. I think you can make a good case he's the best heel in the company right now. I mean, he's so good on the mic. He has improved so much since day one as a wrestler. It leaps and bounds. He deserves the main event push and a half. He should have been there earlier, I think. So I'm with you. He's up there. He's absolutely up there. Now, what I'm going to go around the horn here with, per se, Watson, per se, by the way, elimination
right.
Coming up next week. You want bad puns, you come to Williams, folks. Elimination
yep.
Time next week. Everybody's voting WWE.com/theinternet.google. And the question is, who will get eliminated? I'm going to start with VRM. Who you got going home?
Well, you see, that's the problem because I don't watch NXT.
I forgot. We will just hit you with the Family Feud strike. Okay. Let's try Stat Boy.
From what I see five talented guys and Lucky Cannon. Guess who leaves next?
Husky Harris. No, I'm sorry. Lucky Cannon.
No!
Okay.
Husky's going to wind up number five.
Okay.
One step away from elimination yet again.
Okay, fair enough. Chenier.
I'm going to have to go with the consensus here.
You're not going to go and think... You're trying to tell me you're not going to get Lucky. Okay. Going to go with Lucky Cannon. And, Jason, do we make it a sweep?
Well, we make it a threefer.
threefer works, I'd have to agree by default. I mean, the thing I have against Husky Harris is his mic work sucks. Seeing him backstage do various things, it just doesn't click with me. He's a decent enough wrestler, but he's not the package. He'll be gone in a couple of weeks, but not yet. I agree. Lucky Cannon's going to be out of here, in the words of a late great announcer. All right, so we've covered NXT.
He's out of here.
Thank you very much. Yes, he's smoking parliaments and drinking scotch up in heaven. You know it. Yeah, while Scott Graham has to do NFL films. Anyway, I'm rambling on. Can't you notice? Okay, so we're done with NXT. Let's talk a little bit about TNA. Now, let me give a full discretion, full warning, shall we?
Uh-oh.
The views expressed are not necessarily those of Jim Williams or whatever, anyway. Actually, they're not those of me. I'm saying them. What am I saying? I don't usually watch TNA. No duh. I know. But being that I hosted, I decided to watch it. And honestly, it was a pretty good show this week. A lot of things happened. Let's start with the lesser of all things, although it kind of is compelling with the knockouts. We have new knockout tag team champions in Hamada and Taylor Wilde. They beat Velvet Sky and Lacey Von Botch. Very, very good match.
Sucks. Enough
very
said.
Good. Yeah, well, I know. And there's something there between Madison Rayne and the Beautiful People still, so that's always exciting. The Best of Five series, oh, what a surprise. It's going to a Best of Five all the way. Motor City Machine Guns beating Beer Money in the match of the night, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate X did not disappoint. Good stuff, guys.
But now they basically turned it from a Best of Five to a Best of Seven, because the next match is 2 out of 3 falls, which I think it should be something bigger, like since we had the whole hardcore judge thing. I think it should have been like something like Full Metal Mayhem.
Okay.
That could have worked, yeah.
Definitely. That's a fair point. And we'll get to pick'ems on that later. There's a little foreshadowing. The show started off kind of on the extreme note. Tommy Dreamer in the ring and Raven, and then they cut a pretty interesting promo, kind of giving you a little backstory about the days of ECW and Buell and McGillicuddy and all that. And Van Damme was in a match with Tommy Dreamer. They tacked against Raven and Abyss. And I just had to mention this because when I went over the review of the show, I will quote it, and I quote, boo, Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer defeated Raven and Abyss in 420.
No. Look, I'm going to paint you to say that, Jim.
420. That was just the best. But, you know, TNA, very entertaining, I must say, and I have to watch it again. No, it was a good show. Now, it leads in.
I'm sorry, and we got to see Sandman, which is always fun.
Oh yes, the Sandman, the Singapore taining, the beers drinking, pot smoking Singapore. I can't talk tonight. I've been under a lot of stress the last day or two. No, but that was good seeing Sandman, and at the end of the show, all the ECW guys were going up against the Abyss, and eventually they took him down. So. Kind of a nice lead into the pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. But, if you will, we're not going to do a pay-per-view pick'em. Because there are only two freaking matches on the pay-per-view. How can we pick'em? Can't do a true pick'em. It's like drawing straws.
It's like
with no straws.
It's like the disaster when they only had two matches announced.
Oh, exactly.
Somebody give me a pen so I can draw straws.
No.
Dude, you forgot your straw! I'm sorry. Yes, you just got 619 by 7-Eleven. Yes, indeed.
We are probably about 6'9".
6'9", okay. So what we're going to do in lieu of that, and I wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to go over this, we're going to do a pick'em for not just any show, but the whole effing show, which I think tapes in a couple of days, correct?
It tapes on Monday.
Tapes on Monday, so get your pencils ready. Stat Boy, let me know when you're ready with the spreadsheet and everything.
Ready.
Okay. By my count, we have 7 matches. And since this is the Williams version, we're going 10 points, because I like nice round numbers. Are you ready, gentlemen, to cogitate? And remember, you always have the option to half-point anything you want. Lord knows I'm going to. Here we go. We start with the tag team match to determine the number one contendership for the TNA tag team belts. It's Generation Me versus Ink Inc. Let's see where we go. I'm going to start with Mr. LMB Spumoni Gardens, Jason Block.
Ha ha. Okay. It's all going to depend on who wins the two out of three falls. Since it's going to be the Motor City Machine, since I think the Motor City Machine Guns are going to win, I think it's going to be Ink Inc. who takes out the win. So Ink Inc.
Right. Jason, going with Ink Inc. BRM, who you got?
I'm going to have to actually push on the entire card because my mic is about to die and I don't have a way to charge it because my plug falls out of the socket all the time, so I'm going to have to sign off right now.
Okay, no problem, VRM. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Rest in peace, my friend. Yes. We will turn things over to Mr. Chenier.
I'm going to go with Ink Inc.
Ink Inc. you're going with, okay? Any reason?
Why not?
Works for me. And Statboy.
I am piggybacking on Jason just because I can. Ink Inc.
Alrighty, I'm gonna. There you go.
That's not right.
I just feel dirty all over. I'm going with Ink Inc. as well. So that takes care of that match.
Okay.
Now it's. I'm sorry.
Got it. Everyone
okay.
has Ink Inc. except for Fourth, who picked Generation. You're doomed, son.
Yeah, cool chat room.
Yeah, and shout out to those of the chat, Fourth, and all the other people there who are putting up with my shenanigans. Let's go to a three-way dance. Mr. Anderson versus Matt Morgan versus the Pope. Two-pointer,
Anderson.
Gentlemen.
Wait, sorry, I had to do it.
It's okay. I'll have to beat your ass on Price is Right on Facebook later.
Once
anyway,
my Flash update has updates and crap.
Okay, fair enough. Two-pointer. First of all, who wins the match? Second of all, who gets their shoulders pinned on the mat? We're going to start with the Step Boy this time.
All right. From what I'm seeing here from what I've heard, De Niro and Anderson are kind of meshing together. Morgan's pretty much the odd man out. That being said, Morgan's going to win after De Niro and Anderson have a bit of a falling out. And ultimately, I do believe Morgan wins with Anderson getting pinned.
Morgan on Anderson. God, that didn't sound right. Carl.
Yikes.
Fail.
If you only knew.
That's not, I know. Morgan and his significant other, who he pretends to be there, open Mr. Asshole.
I'm an asshole. He's the world's biggest asshole. Leo.
Speaking of which, there's a little story to that later as well.
Okay. I'm leaving time for you at the end of the show to handle that. So go ahead.
I'm just wanting to double check. Carl, what did you pick? Asshole over who?
I picked Morgan over Anderson.
Oh, Morgan over Anderson.
Yep.
JB, what you got?
I have it reversed. I think Anderson goes over Morgan, and Morgan will continue to complain, saying, we didn't lose.
Interesting. I'm going against the grain from everybody, and of course I can because I don't watch the product. I'm going Pope over Morgan. Pope over Morgan.
You're not going completely against the grain. DJ, who just arrived in the Blog Talk Radio chat, picked Pope to win 2 over Mr. Anderson. Typo picked Anderson to go over Morgan.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Thank you for the recap.
And I think I got everyone right, but please let me know if I did something wrong.
We will. Let me know when you're ready for the next one.
All right. I am ready for Hardy versus the World.
Yes. It's Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles. And correct me if I'm wrong, if Angle loses... He gone? That's the premise. He retires. Top 10 ranked guys here. Let's start back at the top with Mr. Block.
Angle Styles can read the phone book, and it's going to be an awesome match. However, there's no way that, AJ Styles has been on a little bit of a downturn lately from a storyline perspective. PWI 500 ranking notwithstanding, Angle wins.
Okay. I sense where this may be going. Carl?
The number one ranking ain't got shit to do with this, though. Because you've heard the story that AJ's not been real happy ever since this whole takeover business.
Mm-hmm. True.
But, yeah, they're going to retire Angle's ass anytime soon, so I'm taking Angle.
Josh?
It's too easy. Angle wins.
And now I have this thing. It's called a broom. And I'm going to sweep, 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 because I agree. Angle has to win. That's the easiest point you can ever get in this game. What do we have in the chat so far? Same thing?
Angle
all the above?
Everywhere.
That's what I'm liking.
It's a complete
okay.
sweep.
All right. Break out the brooms, and hopefully it'll be on the Yankees at the end of the year. Okay. Oops, sorry. TNA Knockouts Ooh. Title. TNA Knockout. Listen to the podcast. You'll get the reference. Okay. TNA Knockout title badge. It's Angelina Love versus Madison Rayne. And oh, are they smart, sexy, and powerful, folks. Rayne, the champion, she kind of watched on as the tag team match imploded this past week on Impact. Who the heck is that chick with the 18-foot-tall, 18-foot-wide bicycle helmet, by the way?
A weird-look, an oddly-shaped man.
Yeah, no.
Thank you,
Matt. We'll get Maury Povich to do the man or woman check later. Love
you,
or
you
Rayne?
You is not the father.
You is not the baby daddy. Rayne versus Love. Josh, who you have?
I have Angelina Love winning after Madison Rayne's interference gets imploded by the oddly shaped man in the motorcycle. Victoria. I mean Lisa Marie Barone. Wait.
Now, well, there you go. Thank you very much. Okay. Speculators speculate. Angelina Love from Josh. We go to Carl.
Okay, there is something we ain't done yet here on the program.
Uh-oh.
You got your finger on the toilet flusher?
Let me cue this up. Now, is it under flush or is it under toilet? Let's find out together.
It should be toilet flush.
Thank you, Mr. Oh, no, it isn't. No, it's under F. Okay.
F.
So you're going to...
Give me my half point and give me my cookie bits.
What a flush.
Half point for Carl, it is.
Mr. Thanks. Block.
I actually do care about this match. Don't ask me why. But I think that while Angelina Love will take the title from Madison Rayne, I think that Tara will reveal herself and basically leave them both laying winning the segment.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
I'm going Angelina Love to take the championship as well. So
we'll
make that there.
Everyone picked Love, including the people in the chat, Fourth and Typo, except for DJ, who picked
uh-huh.
Flush as well, and Carl.
There you go. We move on to match number five, quasi-match. Well, it will be a match. It's the Jeff Hardy Open Invitational. It's a tournament not even Tiger Woods can win. Jeff Hardy's Open Challenge.
Oh.
Buzzing. Two-pointer here. First point goes to who accepts the challenge. Second point, who wins the challenge, the mysterious person or Jeff Hardy? We're going to go with Jason.
Wow. Can you actually come back to me? Because I have to think of some ideas. Because
no,
I don't...
No.
What?
No problem. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to go to Carl.
I'm going to inkling who said mystery person will be, but I'm going to take Jeff Hardy.
Okay, you're going to take Jeff Hardy. Do you want to go with the mystery, or do you want to flush? You can flush that half.
I'm taking the mystery. I'm going to go with one certain Shelton Benjamin.
Ooh!
I like that. Is he signed to TNA?
I'm not sure.
If so, it's a secret.
Ain't no stopping me now.
Okay, I don't think so, because the world's greatest tag team has, is reuniting in Ring of Honor, but who knows?
Okay.
They both move over there too.
So, all right. Well, we'll put Sheldon in there. Statboy, what do you have?
I have Jeff Hardy winning, and I'm going to do the same thing I did last time I won this title. Flush the opponent.
Come on, show up. There we go.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, that sounded like it hurt.
Sorry.
Jason?
You know what? I think Jeff Hardy's going to win, but I think as punishment for his one-month suspension, the mystery partner will be Samoa Joe, and he's going to do the job.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the Samoa Joe angle about how he was suspended and whatnot.
That wasn't an angle.
Well, not angle. You know what I mean. I didn't mean angle in the actual sense of an angle, but never mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We move on. You know what I'm going to do? As I often do in these kind of situations.
There we go.
Full flush.
Full flush. Just shut up. All right. There we go. So full flush for me. There we are. What are they saying in the chat, Josh?
We've got Ford, who said Jeff Hardy wins and brings in Carlito, who is actually a truly free person. From what I've heard, he may have just shown up in Lucha Libre USA tonight. I didn't watch.
Yeah, he did sign with the... Yes. Yeah. I prefer
and
to watch it in Spanish.
Typho picked Jeff Hardy to win and picked Gregory Shane Helms as his mystery opponent.
Ooh, good choice.
That is a good choice. I'm with that.
And DJ, well, we're still waiting on DJ. Come on.
Well, we'll come back on
what?
That.
No. DJ, no. That's a bad DJ. That's a bad DJ. Jeff Hardy for Orlando Jordan.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, God.
I don't think I'm going to get...
myself.
I'm gonna be sick. Let's get to the tag team title match, the climax of the Best of Five series, technically the Best of Seven in some respects, Motor City Machine Guns versus Beer Money Inc. for the TNA tag team titles. We already got Jason's pick, essentially. You're going Motor City Machine Guns, correct?
I'm going Motor City Machine Guns, and by the way, I've got to say, Guns and Beer Money has been an awesome thing to watch, by the way.
Very good stuff.
It is
absolutely awesome effort.
Yeah, it has been as good or better as the Benoit Booker T 7 series.
Yeah, I remember that. That was some good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's kick it over to Josh. I take that back. It's a two-pointer. I apologize. Who wins? Who pins who? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jason. Who pins who?
And I will say Shelley pins Rude in the final
Shelley
four.
Pins Rude. Okay. Now we'll go to Josh. My apologies.
Right. I am picking the Murder City Machine Guns to win with Sabin pinning Rude.
Okay. Carl.
Guns with Sabin pinning Rude as well.
I'm going to go Guns. I'm going to go Shelley pinning Rude.
Okay.
So there we go with that. Chat room, let me see if I can punch it up quickly myself here.
We're still waiting on who pins who, but it is a clean sweep as to who wins the last.
The Guns, yeah. Everybody mentioned also in the chat who's going to pin who, and my right-hand man's going to mention that. Oh, is that Jeff Peck in the chat?
No, that's DJ.
Oh, that's DJ. I'm sorry. I just have to give a quick shameless plug. I was featured on WrestleChat.net's WrestleChat.net radio, the Still Real to Us radio show, and they're good guys, WrestleChat.net. My buddy Brett Clint Daniels behind that site. Go there if you can. Time for the main event of the evening.
For a note, Forth has picked Sabin pinning Storm. DJ has picked Sabin pinning Storm. Typho, we're still waiting for you.
As we often are. Rob Van Dam is the champ. He faces Abyss for the TNA title in a Stairway to Janus match. Eric Bischoff, your special guest referee. Josh, take us home. Who you got?
Rob Van Dam. I really don't think they're going to be pushing Abyss hard for some odd reason.
RVD, RVD. Oh, hi.
Jason, after RVD's victory over Jerry Lynn, he's going to continue, and by the way, they are still going to push Abyss hard, but that's okay. No one really loses in this match because the feud ain't over.
We don't lose, not come.
push it. I'm tempted to pick Abyss. I'm really tempted, but I'm not. I'm going to go with RVD, and I'm assuming that'll be the consensus in the chat as well.
No.
Ooh, we got an Abyss. We got an Abyss.
Wait.
We've got two Abysses. Three. Abysses.
Ooh. In fact,
everyone on here picked RVD. Everyone in the chat, Ford, Typho, and DJ, all picked Abyss.
Ooh,
and Typho and Ford clean up uh-ohs.
And that
Bischoff is they. The voices in his head are Bischoff.
That's a very good point.
Abyss wins so Hogan can get his Bound for Glory title shot.
There we go. Maybe. You never know. Interesting strategery. That does it for Pick'ems. I want to quickly get to Carl. You're going to the TNA House Show in Thibodeau. Talk about it, my friend. What you got?
Next Saturday night, it'll be down here. I already got a Mr. Asshole t-shirt to wear.
Cool. Yeah.
Not sure if he'll actually be here, but that was the only one I could find my size.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. And this is your first house show?
Yeah, let's see, $50 ticket, I get to do the meet and greet beforehand as part of the package.
Awesome. As I told you, I went to the record-breaking show at Brooklyn earlier this year in July, which was great. TNA puts on a hell of a show. Even though it may be only 6 or 7 matches, it's fun. It's a fun product to watch live.
I'm going to hit you up for some tips later this week coming up, Jason.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hit you up for some tips for that upcoming this week.
All right. Well, you know, always on Facebook. You know that.
Yes, sir.
But
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say in our remaining couple of minutes, some quick plugs. Any of you guys?
This weekend is Gen Con in Indianapolis. If you're around that area, go to it. Have fun.
Yes.
Meet a nerd.
People. Yes, that's always important.
As always, you can find me at BlockPartyPodcast.com and, of course, as one of the columnists and reviewers on We Love to Interrupt at GameShowNewsNet.com.
And as they say,
awesome.
Ain't no party like a Jason Block party because the Jason Block party
don't stop. Yes.
That's right. Carl, what do you got, my friend? Carl? Bueller? We might have. Let me check. I have the switchboard down. Oh shit. Carl's still there. Carl's still there, but he's just not hearing me. I guess maybe he's busy. He's busy doing other things. Well, I'll plug what he would have plugged, because I have a stake in it too. The BS Big Show Monday nights, either 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening. We're gearing up for football season. Lots of exciting things there. And
baseball playoff time coming soon. We got a
stretch
run coming.
Mm-hmm. My beloved Phillies making a heck of a run as the hottest team in baseball. 13 out of the last 15, people. So, go Phils. Go Beard. That's right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to plug, Carl, while you pop back in?
Nice choice of words there, Jim. Game show garbage.
Yes. Oh, crap, I forgot.
GSGarbage.OCCrew.net. Check it out. Actually, Rob has already sent me the next 4 updates for me to do one at a time each week. He's going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
like Sam.
Yeah.
This week, it's Carney Wilson. Thank God.
Thank the Lord.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, just wait for the next couple of ones, guys.
Oh, they're going to be good, from what I was told. And I'm envious of Mr. Seidelman. He's getting to see Daniel Bryan in a few weeks. That's all I'm going to say. That does it for the NAWC. Thank you, Nikki, for allowing me to host in your stead. Hopefully I didn't bastardize this too much. On behalf of Typho, Jason Block, Stepboy Josh Henninger, Carl Chenier, Jim Williams, saying good night and keep your shoulders off the mat. Till we meet again. So long, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
folks.
Everyone.
Peace, love, and fail.
Yes, yes. 30-year dream. Good night, Irene. Time to get some dairy.